You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to share my story. I'm Louise, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I've provided a couple of pictures. One was before, and this was before I started OA How. And I'd say I was probably about 25 pounds more than what I am now. And then the next picture is after, I'd say, 3.5 months on OA How. And, you know, for me, the results are pretty telling. So thank you, Wendy, for posting those. So, so my history is what it was like before. So I'm 65 years old, and I have always liked food, you know, and I was a chubby kid. I was the second child in my family. My sister was a slender, petite little girl, and I was this chubby, you know, Amazon woman. As a child, there are pictures of us, you know, side by side. My sister's in her pretty little dress, and I'm in my, you know, underwear with my gut hanging out, and I didn't care. My hair's all disheveled. Hers is all perfect and everything. It's just so, I mean, the significance of that is just that, you know, that was my view of myself. And I really didn't have weight problems, you know, I'd say until I hit puberty. But, you know, I just remember as a child before puberty that, you know, I came from a family where my mom's side of the family is Italian, and life is about food, you know, where you're visiting, it's in terms of what you ate, what you're doing is in terms of what you're going to eat. You know, when you visit somebody, it's what did they serve and what did you eat? So it's very, very food oriented. And frankly, I had no idea that other people don't think like that until I got into OA, you know, the original OA. So, which is fine. You know, that was my family culture. On my dad's side of the family is Norwegian, and they were very quiet, and they had food and stuff, but it was, you know, food was not a big focus. So, anyway, you know, so I used to spend my summers. I grew up in Seattle. My mom's from the Bay Area. My dad was from Seattle area. And so I would spend my summers with my great grandparents down in near the Los Altos area. And I'd go down there about June, and I'd leave, you know, right before school started. And I was always, you know, they filled me full of foods that I loved. And it wasn't just that. It was fine. They had an acre. It was all fruit trees, and they would harvest the fruit, and then they would you know, dry it on the grape trays in the sun, the Los Altos sun, and then they would sell it on the roadside. So there was always plenty of, you know, fruit, fresh fruits and dried fruits, and boy, I really got spoiled. And we'd have lots of family dinners. My great grandparents had, you know, with this big property, they had like their main house where they would live during the summer, during the winter, in a, like a regular house. And then across the driveway was the summer house, which just was screened in large room. And they had a big, long, you know, table, dining table that was, it was like a, just an oversized picnic table that had the red and white checkerboard, you know, tablecloth on it. And so the family would gather and there would be 30 people. That just was easily. And, you know, you'd sit down and grandpa would serve. He was the cook and he would serve all these different courses. And that was just normal. And, you know, I would gorge myself on the first, you know, the antipasta, you know, the stuff, the beginning, and I'd be stuffed and, but still I'd keep eating. So, which is fine. That just was, you know, what I grew up with. I didn't know any better. Something I was very blessed with, and that was my parents always, we had, you know, defined meals at dinner always. And on the weekends we'd have breakfast, you know? So in other words, we'd sit down together. We'd have a regular meal. It wasn't this kind of grab something and everybody go in different directions. And in our meals, there was always at least a couple of vegetables and always a salad at the end. That was a tradition of my mom's upbringing. And then we always had dessert too. So, but I'm just, and then we'd have, you know, a solid protein. I'm just very blessed to have that structure, grow up with that structure, especially given kind of the, you know, view of food is, you know, consumes your life, you know, in addition to, you know, regular meals. So anyway, then I hit about, everything was fine. And I hit puberty and there were a lot of changes in our life. My mom had my youngest brother. He's 12 years younger than I am. And we outgrew our house. And so my folks built another house about three blocks away from the house we were living. And, you know, the house was just, it was this huge house. And for me, in my little mind, moving, you know, the three blocks was the equivalent of moving from, you know, Seattle to Alaska. It just was like completely different culture, the same neighborhood, but very different culture, different kids. You know, I knew these kids, but still, it just was a different vibe. And, you know, I became a woman that year and, we had sold our smaller house, you know, while we were building that bigger house. We had this little baby. And also something I realized in my writings that my dad's business had really taken off. He had worked in the family business for years and just felt like he wasn't going to get anywhere. And so he got into the commercial fishing business up in Alaska. And it just happened to be at a time when there was lots of opportunity, whether it be for boat building or, you know, fishing. The fishing was very good. So that provided us a lot of opportunity. But at the same time, my dad was nearly lost his life on the Bering Sea when he was knocked overboard. And this was before my brother, my youngest brother was conceived. So there was a lot, it was kind of like a lot of reality and a lot of changes going on. And so anyway, I just remember I was started gaining weight, you know. What I would do is instead of coming home and from school and playing with the kids outside, and it was part of it was the way our house was built. It was almost like people thought it was an apartment house. It was like people couldn't tell if you were home or not. And so it was easy to isolate. You know, really, so I'd come home, sit in front of the TV and eat my favorite food, and not just one, but a lot of it. It was like, you know, and I'd watch TV. And anyway, I gained weight. And then my friend, my girlfriend decided we should be on diet. And I don't remember being overweight or anything, but it was like, that was just the beginning. And her version of diets was we just see how much we cannot eat, you know, and we start out with, you know, a food that's not on the OA list, and in the morning, which for me, what I've learned about myself, in being in OA is that that was the worst food I could be starting the day off. And it wasn't even sugar. It was just a food that just does not, you know, it triggers cravings for me. So anyway, that was the start of my dieting. And I always failed because she'd say, oh, I was able to go 2 days without eating. It's like, you know, like that was a badge of honor. I always felt like a failure. You know, I could never do it right. That's just not the way my body worked. So Anyway, so that began a series of up and down. And I'd say, I think I was about 12 then. And from then, I remember I got to my highest weight at that time, got to 181 when I was about 14 years old. It was probably because I was trying to diet. And it just was this series of up and down and up and down and up and down. And, you know, my understanding was about how you managed your weight was you go on a diet, you lose the weight. And then, you know, for some reason I'd have amnesia. And what I know now is kind of a hallmark of our disease is I'd think, oh, I can eat now that I've lost this weight and, you know, forgot what got me there in the first place. So, and usually I'd use these extreme methods. I used, you know, organized diets. I used extreme exercise. I even tried laxatives one time. I did try, you know, to make myself throw up, which I am so thankful because I just, you know, as I've learned, just that's just a holy living hell to live, you know, with that disease. And so thank goodness that didn't work. So, but anyway, my point is that I just would try all these different things and I'd lose weight for a special occasion. And then, you know, then I'd gain it back. So anyway, I never really got as high as my highest weight when I was a teenager. Once I kind of discovered boys and kind of slimmed down for some reason, kind of the excitement of life, I was able to get, you know, I was always about 15 pounds overweight, 15, yeah, I'd say 15 pounds. I never was really happy with my weight. But when I see pictures now, I go, there's nothing wrong with me. Just had this message in my head. My mom has always struggled with weight issues. And so I, you know, and even to this day, we'll say how she just, oh, she hates her body, hates her body. And like anything less than being basically, you know, looking like she's a, you know, starved, that she thinks that she's, you know, unattractive and stuff. And she, when she hit her 50s, she gained, I swear, like 50 pounds in one summer. And her sister did the same thing. And it was, you know, she's never been able to take it off. And she's had a lot of health issues because of it. So, and I just did not want to live like that. So anyway, so that was my history. And then back in, I think it was around 2000, I had just, you know, finished a 3-day weekend where it was nothing but junk food and just gorging myself saying, I'll start on Tuesday. And I just could not get myself to get on track. And I was like, you know, it's almost like my brain was like, no resistance. And I thought, you know what? We have addiction in our family. And I said, you know, I treat food. I wonder if my substance is food, that I have addiction issues with food. And so I walked into an OA meeting and I felt like, oh my gosh, this is like, they get it. You know, I really, really was happy that I wasn't alone. And what I would do is I'd go to a meeting a week and that kept me going. I was able to have physical recovery, but I never did the 12 steps. And so anyway, over the years, I've, you know, gained weight again, and I just could not bring myself to go on a diet. So anyway, back in 2009, I think it was, a friend of mine was a member of the Gray Sheet group. And she said, try, you know, why don't you come try Gray Sheet? And I did. And I discovered about myself how I am a volume eater. I had no idea I'm a volume eater. And I, you know, so when I have new sponsees and they want what I have, basically the physical recovery usually, I tell them, this is what I do. And they're like, oh, there's just no way I could do that. I was like, well, I can, you know, and actually some of them can, because you find if you're not eating the other stuff, you have room for the, you know, all those vegetables. So anyway, I got really good recovery, physical recovery with the Gray Sheet. And I said, I want to see if I can be absent for a year. And I was absent for a year. And it was about, you know, just around that 1 year time, I reached the 1 year mark. And then it was like something went off in my head. Well, tick that off. You know, you did that, you can do it. And also because I was in the groove, I had really good, I had grace in my life. And I, you know, was following my program stuff, but I didn't experience the structured with the step work with the gray sheet. And so one day it was around my birthday and that was the 1 year mark. I didn't have my scale at lunch. I was taken out to lunch and, you know, it was a place where I could have absent foods, and my scale was just two blocks away. I could have gone and gotten it, but I was like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I know I can estimate. And yes, we could estimate maybe for once or twice, but with the gray sheet, if you don't weigh, you're not absent, you know? And so for me that it took about 2 or 3 months, but then I was, thank you. Okay. I was really off and running and I lost my absent and oh my goodness. Once I lost my absence, and I'm talking about, you know, the different levels of losing your absence that where maybe I didn't weigh and measure, maybe I was trying a food that I don't normally eat, you know, on the gray sheet and everything. So that was a real lesson for me. So and that was 2015. I was in gray sheet for a year and it took me all this time. I came back to OA last July. So what was that, 7 years or so? And that really scared me. I was like, I know now, you know, there's no guarantee you can come back. Even though like I'm in a good place, I have lots of grace. But I know, you know, if I lose it, then that's the physical part of it that there's no guarantee I can get it back. In fact, I don't think I can get it back because this time it was really hard to do. I was kicking and screaming. So anyway, I had just had enough. And the thing that got me back, it wasn't just the physical thing. It was my mental state. I have 3-step girls and they're in their 30s now. And I find my life has been getting more and more narrow. I don't want to do things. I didn't want, you know, I was finding issues with them. And so I knew my life would just be getting smaller and smaller. And I just didn't want it to continue, that my only hope was to do the steps. Cause I'd been listening to 12-step tapes, on my iPhone. And I just heard consistently by doing the steps, you can have long-term absence. So that's what I did. I came back and then I got a sponsor. I came back in July, took me till November, and I got a sponsor and we've been working together. And she said, I only sponsored OA Howe, the Mid Peninsula program. And I said, I'm willing to do it. I said, weigh and measure works great for me. And I was so pleased to learn that, with the OA Howe, program that we're following, that it has more foods. And what I mean, like legumes, we could not have legumes. We could not have any sort of sprouted bread, you know? And then now that I'm on maintenance, which I've been on maintenance, I'd say for 2 months now, I am not afraid of some of these foods that I thought were triggers. And the number one, legumes, they are my friends. I thought they were my enemies. So I'm so pleased. I feel like now, I'm still early in my recovery because I'm only 6 months. Been working. I go to a 6:30 a.m. Regular OA meeting every morning because that starts my day. We do meditation and reading and writing, and that really has really uncovered a lot of things. And I feel like I'm getting myself back. So while I've had great physical recovery, it's been obvious. Also, like not as many aches and pains, but, you know, my emotional recovery, I find I'm more even, with my emotions. I still have a lot of work to do, but, I'm building my inner strength back up, you know, and spiritually, I really feel higher power in my life. I'm so thankful for that because I've really questioned that, like, I just don't know. I don't know if I can believe this. I was raised in a very structured religious religion, and I just never really felt the love, the support, you know, but I feel it now from my higher power, and I look for ways that higher power shows up in my life, and it's just amazing. He has saved me from myself so many times. So that's all I have to say.